PXY Mornings, Moose Breezy, 71 and sunny for the high today. So apparently Cracker Barrel decided to go full modern, but not in like a better biscuit type of way. No, they nuked their classic logo.
So everyone's up in arms, losing their minds.
Uncle Herschel leaning on a barrel, gone.
See ya.
In its place, plain text in a golden hexagon, and just people are losing it. Because Cracker Barrel, just for that move alone, lost nearly $100 million in market value overnight. Shares dropped as much as 15%, all because they wanted to change up the logo to make it look more simple. Why would you do that?
Drama.
People were in an uproar, especially people who were losing money in the stock market. But Cracker Barrel is not something you modernize. That's the whole point of Cracker Barrel. I don't understand it, but should classic brands like Cracker Barrel stay nostalgic? 585-252-9800. On social media, you had just a lot of critics who accused the chain of woke branding, erasing its heritage, and even calling it a crime against humanity.
Oh my God, the drama. Spare me. Spare me.
It seems very extreme, but people love their biscuits and gravy in rocking chairs.
It's not like they're changing the recipe. They changed the logo. Relax.
Well, they're now modernizing the inside of the restaurant. They have the new CEO to thank for that. And that's what's really making people upset. So the CEO comes in and starts updating the logo, but they're doing the decor of the restaurants as well. So there's new interior to make it seem more modern. There's brighter lighting, which people also hate. Also, say goodbye to all the old antique wall decor.
Wait, I don't mean to sound so like millennial right now, but what is Cracker Barrel? A restaurant?
It's like almost...
Or is it a shop?
Combined.
So it's both.
Yeah. I mean, that was the best part.
It's not like I'm like going there often to know, but
no, we used to have one there, and I think it was in. Is it still there?
I think it is still there
in Henrietta
by the airport. Yeah,
that was the best part. It's like walking in your grandpa's shed. It's just a bunch of farm tools.
There's rats running around. You're like, ah, it's authentic.
It's just all on the wall. Nobody uses. So Cracker Barrel has an entire design department whose job is to source, catalog, and hang that stuff in every location so it looks authentically cluttered, if you will.
Yeah.
In each restaurant.
Organized chaos. Yeah.
Like TGI Fridays.
Right, right.
So each restaurant has about 1,000 individual antique items on the walls and ceilings, and no two locations are decorated exactly the same. It's kind of like
so
an Applebee's.
They want to make it like an Olive Garden.
But it's like, yeah.
And kind of have everything in uniform, basically.
Simplify it.
Yeah.
I mean, Cracker Barrel has always been like Applebee's on steroids. But with
country version.
With actual history instead of, you know, knockoff movie posters, if you will. But when you think about it, don't you find it absurd that the heart of the Cracker Barrel isn't just the old logo of Uncle Herschel leaning up against a barrel of moonshine or whatever the hell that is? It's the Civil War antiques and the rusty saws. Now all of that is ruined thanks to Julie Felsmacino, who makes over $6 million a year. She had to come in there and try to modernize something great, and everyone's like, now she killed it.
People don't like change.
People in the South want this woman in jail.
Oh, my God. See, I feel like this is a bigger conversation of, like, people who live in the north of like the country and people who live in the south of the country. Like personally, and maybe this is just me, like I don't care. You know what I mean? But
right, you don't even know what Cracker Barrel is, though.
The people in the south are so dramatic. Like everything is so like blown out of proportion to the 10th degree. And honestly, everything has such a deeper meaning to them. And it's like, it's not that deep. Like move on.
Well, it is for some people who lost hundreds of thousands in the stock market. If you got stock in Cracker Barrel, I don't know. But this CEO knew she was playing with fire. I mean, remember all the companies that tried to change their logo and it backfired on them. 2009, Tropicana ditched the orange with the straw, which literally screamed orange juice. for a much sleek generic carton, and sales drop by 20 to 30% in a month. And then
because guess what it means? It means that like the old saying, don't judge a book by its cover. No, like genuinely people are and always have judged a book by its cover, judged a logo by its business, and it changes the whole vibe. For example, Canadian National Bank just changed their logo. That's my bank.
Yeah.
I'm disgusted.
To what?
I don't even know. Like just to see? Just to see with an I don't even know what it
is. This is what everyone's doing is they're trying to simplify things that are already simple.
You can't fix what isn't broken.
You can't take Uncle Herschel leaning up against the barrel and throw it away. I mean, Herschel's been there forever. In 2010, the Gap swapped their iconic blue square. Everyone knows the Gap logo.
Mm-hmm.
They swapped that out for a design that just said Gap in black letters, and then it had a tiny little blue square at the top of the P. It was awful. And people hated it so much, they changed it back in a week.
Wow.
It was the shortest rebrand in history.
Interesting. I guess this just goes to show, don't fix what isn't broken. You know what I mean?
In some cases, sure. Matt's texting in and says, good morning, guys. People don't go to Cracker Barrel for a sleek, modern vibe. They go because it looks like your grandma's attic threw up all over the walls. It was dumb on their part to mess with the logo. Guys, it looks like the Wells Fargo Bank logo to me. And I get trying to stay current, but Cracker Barrel's charm is that it's not current. That's why people like it.
Right. It's different.
You don't want it to be current. And when you go in and you see the pictures of the new interior, it almost looks like a cleaner version of Denny's. I'm like, what are they doing?
Are Denny's still a thing?
They're huge at 4 a.m.
Oh, are shut down.
Well, probably because the menus weren't sticky enough.
What is this? Yeah, I think that people get very up in arms about logos and vibes and all of the things. So much so that they will stop supplying business to them.
Sure. I mean, what's one logo you would hate to see go away?
Our logo. Our logo's been the same forever. PXY.
Different colors. I mean, it was different in the 90s, but yeah, the kind of retro orange and black look.
Heritage, you know? Danger Texas. He's like, so we're going to change the logo. I've been meaning to send this email for a couple weeks.
Yeah, that's actually what we're talking about in our Monday afternoon meeting.
Yeah.
Connect with PXY Mornings on our socials.
Facebook.
IG.
X.
98 PXY Rochester.
It's Moose and Breezy on 98 PXY.
Buying a new vehicle.
Vibrant color, oratory skills, a deep exploration into drama, suspense, tragedy, and comedy. PXY Mornings with Moose and Breezy present another award-worthy performance in Moosterpiece
Theater. I can't wait for you to watch this film tonight. I'm excited for you and Patrice, too, your girlfriend. You guys got to watch this.
She's like, I'm not watching it. So.
I picked this movie because I thought it would be a great scene to act out for one. And two, the fire, the passion, the intensity, the cheating.
Oh, not the cheating.
Oh, this wife did him dirty. This scene is us in our living room, and your character is sad and depressed.
Why are we always, first of all, together? Second of all, there's always a cheating scandal.
Not always.
Nine times out of ten.
And it's always coming from the woman. Isn't that sad, you guys?
I love how you're specifically picking these, but all right.
Well, I actually saw this movie come up on, I forget what platform it was, and I was like, this is a great film. We should do this for Moosterpiece Theater. So here's the situation that you're in, and I want you to use this as motivation.
Okay.
So it's raining out. They're in a dark-lidded house, and your character has been having an affair with a much younger man for quite some time. And my character found out about it and decided to handle the situation without letting her know. He handled it in a very dramatic way. We'll say that.
Okay.
All right. Any questions? You're a pro.
No, I think I'm good.
All right. Let's get these lights, camera, sound, action.
What did you do? Did you hurt him, huh? Edward, did you hurt him? Did you? Didn't you? Jesus, Edward, talk to me.
No.
Tell me what you did.
No, you tell me what you did. How you screwed him over and over and over. How you lied to me over and over and over again.
No, stop! You know, I can't deal with this stress, Edward. Think about my eczema. Again, not in the movie.
You've never seen the movie.
Not in the movie.
Oh, watch.
I can't handle another flare-up.
No, you don't talk to me now. I gave you everything. I gave you everything for this family. Everything. And what did you do? You threw it all away like nothing. And for what? He was a freaking kid. You didn't think I know that I wouldn't feel it? I knew it was. I knew it from the very first day because I know you, Connie. I know you and I hate you.
No, please. Don't say things that you don't mean.
I didn't want to kill him. I wanted to kill you.
Ed, please, my eczema. Oh my God, I can't believe it.
Look at me. You threw it all away, Connie. Remember that.
I can't do this. Oh my goodness. I'm getting a flare up. I can't do this anymore.
And cut.
Not you rewriting the whole script.
End scene. Cut.
The eczema awareness is crazy.
It happens. And now they have shots for it and different steroids you can take each morning. That's not the point of the script right now. Very intense moment between husband and wife when one partner catches another one cheating. I can't imagine what that must feel like.
People are texting in, Moose, pick a new scene. We've been listening to the cheating for the last three movies.
Wait until you hear what I have planned for next Monday.
It's Labor Day. I'm not going to be here, so.
Oh, God. We'll have to do a follow-up on Tuesday then. All right. Any guesses coming in what that movie was? Oh, I just love the passionate scenes between man and woman. The fighting, the drama.
This person says, I don't know if you guys do short films, but I saw a short film called Eczema Energy a couple weeks back. Was it that one?
No, it's not Eczema Energy, but that is a good one, too. We love independent filmmakers.
We really do.
Who else is here? Let's go over to Lindsay that says, I've never heard of this. Bang Door? What? Who wrote Bang Door? What is that?
Bang Door.
I've never heard of that. Is that another independent film? This one, yes, it stars Richard Gere. And then another woman I'm not too familiar with her acting. That's why it doesn't matter.
Oh my God.
This is an erotic thriller from 2002 starring Richard Gere. And Breeze is going to go home tonight.
What's it called?
This one is called Unfaithful.
Okay.
If you thought last week's movie was fantastic, wait until you see this.
What was last week's? I can't remember.
Who was it starring last week? Come on, we did the film.
I don't remember. I can't remember anything.
You know, now that I think of it, I think it was kind of similar to this.
It was the same scene. Oh, it was An Indecent Favor.
No, Indecent Proposal,
whatever.
Yes, another great film.
Same exact scene.
All right, Breezy, you're going to go home tonight, watch this, bring it in tomorrow for Breezy's big movie review. This one is a nail biter, I will say that. So be prepared to give it a very high score, okay?
Okay.
Welcome back to the show. So a new documentary about Hurricane Katrina came out on Netflix, and a lot of us, I think, were old enough to remember just the devastation that was caused back in the day. And Breezy brought this up that she watched it for the first time and was like, you know, I don't know if you said you don't really even remember Hurricane Katrina, but just history.
I mean, I remember Hurricane Katrina. Like, I was so young, though, when it touched land and, you know, devastated all of these communities. It was 2005. I was in fifth grade.
Yeah.
And I think it's just wild to learn history as an adult that you were here on this earth for, but too young to understand. I mean, 9/11 being one of them, Hurricane Katrina being one of them, you know, the housing market crashing being one of them, the, you know, the recession, all of the things that your job is to be a kid and to be, you know, happy-go-lucky, live life to the fullest and not have to worry about any of this stuff. But you were very much here and alive when your parents were stressed out about this stuff, or, you know, people down south were losing their entire homes and communities. And watching the documentary on Hurricane Katrina, it's wild to see, you know, exactly what happened and to know that that happened here in America.
Yeah.
Like, when you watch that footage, it looks like a third world country.
It
like
really
it
does.
Genuinely does. And it's eye-opening and it's shocking because we learn about history in school and we learn about these events that seem so far away from us, right? Like, oh, that happened in the 1800s. Oh, that happened in the Civil War. Oh, you know, we're learning about all this stuff. But when you are like relearning things in a different lens as an adult, I just feel like it hits so much. It's so different.
I think so too. You know, and I look back, I mean,
it's like this happened when like, not that long. I mean, 20 years ago, yes, is a long time ago.
Yeah.
But you're still here living on this earth. Like, I don't know. It's insane.
In 2005, does that even, when someone says 2005, like, oh yeah, 15 years ago, that's what you hear. Doesn't seem like that long ago.
20.
Right. But even like Columbine, the school shooting, that happened in 1999. And it was the first school shooting that was really, that people really, really talked about. And I remember being young. I remember being in freshman year of high school, eighth grade, something like that. And then it just kept happening. And we grew up with, you know, school shooting drills in it. But when you look back of when that actually took place, it's like, wow, you forget about some of the history that took place right here. And
while
we don't,
you were, you know,
part of it.
You were living your best life elsewhere because you were like either too young to understand or didn't have the capacity to understand or it wasn't your job to understand, right? Like me in fifth grade, I don't need to understand the nature of Hurricane Katrina, or it's not that I don't need to, it's I don't have the ability to. Like I'm 10 years old. I don't know that people home that their homes are gone and their communities are vanished and people have lost their lives. So many people have lost their lives
right
to this devastating storm. And I mean, obviously, if you go back and watch the documentary, there's a couple. There's one on Hulu that I was watching. There's one on Netflix as well. The city of New Orleans failed these people. Like, and it's just clear as day and you can see it. But I just thought, you know, oh, a hurricane came through. Like,
it was
devastating, but there was so much more to it.
The people there, everybody that lived there felt like the entire country gave up on them.
Yeah.
Because when you really stop and think about it, there are so many wild, uncomfortable or straight up insane moments, I think, in I guess you could say recent history that don't feel that long ago, but they're absolutely mind-blowing when you learn about them as a kid.
Right.
Or you revisit them as an adult. It's like, wow, that happened?
Well, you're right, Moose. It's so different learning about it in school, in a textbook, and living history, right? Like, these kids, you know, I don't know how often textbooks get rewritten, right? But like they will learn about COVID-19. They will learn about the pandemic. They will learn about Black Lives Matter. They will learn about all of this stuff. And it's like, you don't even know your living history until, you know, there a documentary comes out about it, if I'm being honest.
You will learn that people used to be able to smoke on an airplane and in a restaurant because, you know, they put up a dividing wall. I was 5 feet tall, and you can choose between smoking and non-smoking. I was like, I can't believe that used to be a thing.
Yeah.
But I lived through it.
Even restaurants, too, you know?
I mean, they're still doing that in Vegas, but that's always going to be around.
Just insane.
But when someone brings up, like, hey, the Berlin Wall that fell in 1989, that feels like ancient history.
You lost me there. But, like, it's interesting, and it's cool to go back and educate yourself in a different lens and think to yourself, wow, I was very much so here and alive.
Yeah.
You know, living my best life, playing double dutch on the playground when Hurricane Katrina was taking out an entire community, multiple communities, cities of people.
And then, you know, my niece and nephew at their age, who are like 9, 10, and 11, are going to really be learning about, you know, the effects of that September 11th have us on us now, you know?
Right.
And it's crazy, but they didn't live through that. And it's, I don't know, it's just, it's going to be really, it's one thing to read about it in a textbook.
Yeah.
And talk about it in class. And it's another thing to like live through it and then watch them make a documentary about it.
But it's also like not even just like, there's different levels, right? Like learning about it in a textbook, but living through it and not understanding it, you know, living through it at a young age and be like, oh, I mean, I was alive for 9/11, but I was in first grade. I don't know. And then living through it in like COVID, I was 25. So I have a better understanding of, you know, history and what is to come with it and how it's going to be perceived in the future and taught. It's just insane.
Yeah.
It's really insane. And documentaries, obviously you and I both love watching documentaries. So it's cool that there are people out there that care enough about these events to, you know, put it out into the public in the form of art. So
yeah,
it's really cool.
I'm glad that you got a chance to sit down and actually watch that.
Yeah. It was eye-opening for sure.
It's PXY Mornings. Thank you guys for tuning in. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's me, Julia, your at-work bestie on 98PXY. Each weekday, just after 2:30, I share my life hack of the day. I promise it'll make your life a little easier. The Julia Show on the number one hit music station, 98PXY.